Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by Life West, the Chiropractic College. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West, and I want to welcome you to another edition of our Life West Leadership Line. Today, coming from Pennsylvania, all the way across the United States, we have Dr. Dean DePice. Dean, welcome to the show, my man.
Good to be here.
Somebody with you.
My dog, Porkchop, is with us as well.
There you go. Porkchop, what's for dinner tonight, baby? We won't ask that right now. But let me give you a little history before we dive in with Dr. Dean and kind of just learn some phenomenal stuff. I mean, Dean's great. He graduated in 87 from Life Chiropractic College. Once he graduated, went to Louisville. Isn't that where Muhammad Ali is from, right? Went to Louisville, yep. Kentucky for a year, where he ran a practice there, and then he waited for his wife to graduate, or bride-to-be. I'm not sure if you were married at the time or not. Were you married?
Not yet.
So his bride-to-be waited for her to graduate, and then they both took off, went to Pennsylvania. They've been there ever since. He has an office called TLC Chiropractic, 33 years. That's a great number, Dean, by the way. You know, magic number, 33 years. This year that they've been open serving the public, and he also has a coaching business, TLC Coaching, and that's been going on for 20 years. He's lectured extensively. He just was at the Wave. He's lectured, in fact, in 44 states throughout the USA, right? So he still has another six to hit, but 44 states, at whether it's at conventions, state conventions, wherever it might be, 17 colleges, which is almost every single college, maybe about one. And he's just doing amazing things in chiropractic, and he's up-leveling the profession in a way that you'll hear from what we're going to talk about today. I know that, you know, you'll hear how he's up-leveling the profession and where Dean comes from and what his heart's about and how he's so entrenched in chiropractic. He's been a great supporter of Life West, but more than that, a great supporter of chiropractic and the students that come out. So, Dean, I want to thank you for all that you're doing. Where's Porkchop? I can't see Porkchop. Porkchop might be on yours. There you are, Porkchop. How are you? We'll just say PC. Dean, let's talk about it, man. I know that one of the topics that you talk about, you know, and that I know is near and dear to you, right? Is leadership principles, right? And growth, things like that, you know. Let's talk about that. I think it's a good place for us to start. We'll kind of see where that dovetails into and where we go. So talk about leadership, or talk about growth in particular with leadership.
Well, growth was the topic I cornered for our conversation today for many reasons. If we as practitioners are in growth, then we are accessing our highest passions. If we are in growth, we're able to pursue other people who in their physical wishes for vitality and to be well-adjusted, they themselves can engage in growth. Growth is so relevant. And the growth of our economy in our practice is relevant because the world is constantly growing the overhead by which we're going to run ourselves. So if we are not outpacing that, then we are diminishing this. And we don't want chiropractic practices diminishing. So grow is relevant in so many ways, from heart, soul, passion, specifics. So growth is my topic today.
I love it. So let's delve into those. We have different things to talk about, obviously, but let's talk about growth. And, I know you probably come from the standpoint that the growth has to take place within first, right? You know, inside the person. You could teach anyone how to do certain procedures and things like that, but if they're not growing inside, it's not necessarily going to show on the outside or be sustainable on the outside. What are some of the things that you look at when you're lecturing, you're talking to people about growth?
Well, in the TLC community, we're a community of people that come together to exercise specific tools to achieve specific outcomes. And growth has to be looked at, yes, in terms of the heart and the soul of the person, but very specifically, are you in evident growth? And that means we call it the law of 4 to 6%. The community we live in, the world we live in, is usually in an inflationary rate of somewhere between 3 and 4%. Sometimes recently it was as low as 1%. Soon it's supposed to be up to 8%, but 3 to 4 is the average. So if you do not live the law of 4 to 6, that is 4 to 6% growth every year, then you are in a state of depression. You are falling behind. And this is where you see doctors that are 8 years, 12 years, 15 years in practice. They've reached a certain level. They stay at that level. And once you stay at one level of practice for 7 years, 7 years is the magic number. If you don't grow in 7 years, you are having half the buying power of the dollar that the practice generates. So there are very specific numbers. We handle this like microscopic analysis in TLC, that either you're growing or you're dying. And you got to look at the numbers. You have to have the accountability to make sure you're exceeding that 3 to 4% by living the law of 4 to 6%. Mm-hmm. If you're doing it, then every 5, 6, 7 years, you can level off for a year and coast for a year or 2 years, but you can never coast for 6 or 7 years, or it's the death sentence. And that's when people look to sell every kind of widget, look for other ways to make a secondary income. Don't do it. Keep the primary income from the primary thing, which is being a doctor of chiropractic, but you must live the law of 4 to 6%.
And that law that you're talking about with 4 to 6%, are you talking about net? You're talking about gross?
Gross collections of the practice must be up 4 to 6% every year. You can grow that 4 to 6% by serving more human lives. You can grow that 4 to 6% by raising your collections per visit. You can grow that 4 to 6% by adding an additional service. But we must have absolute endpoint analysis that at the end of the year, we are 4 to 6% up. Like I said, we can have a year or two of a pause, but you can't have 5, 6, 7 years. And almost no one's talking about that. And one of the reasons very few people talk about it is very few people who are in coaching or management or whatever have even been in practice that long. Mm-hmm. So you have people that haven't had to live through it. They haven't had to keep their marriages together, obliterate student loan debts, pay for their kids to go to college and all that stuff. So it's not a very personal element to live this law that I'm responsible. If somebody comes to this community in TLC and says, I need help, I've got to make sure you absolutely are growing 4 to 6% a year.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the other piece might be that people are uncomfortable talking about money and talking about, you know, talking about what did they grow? And even when I say uncomfortable, not even talking about it, looking at it.
Right. Right.
Really looking at the numbers.
You know, when I look at the people that end up showing up at my doorstep, it's usually, ironically, chiropractors who are in pain. They're no different than the public that they want to think they're above. Old people show up in pain. No, you show up in pain. Most chiropractors don't show up till they're in pain. The pain is either depressed new patient volume, or it's depressed collections, or it's inability to keep their teams together, or it's inability to balance home and work life. And there has to be specific ways that you analyze it. So for instance, if collections are down, we have to start with getting accurate data. Some doctors don't even know what the heck their DVA collections are. And if you're going to do that, the example I give you is you got a clean house. You have to make sure your numbers are accurate. If you're giving free adjustments to patients that are employees or family members, they're off the table. They don't count in your data. They count in you loving them. They count in you having clinical concern for them, but they can't count in your statistics. We need hard, clean numbers. How many people are you adjusting a week? How many people are you adjusting a month? And what are the dollars you're collecting per month? And then you divide those actual paying patient numbers into the collections to tell me what your DVA collections are. And then there's three categories. If you're a dominant cash practice, your DVA collections should be this range. If you're a 50-50 third party paying to cash, then it should be this range. And if you're dominant third party payment, should be this range. But there's specific numbers, and you can't analyze the problem. You can't diagnose what needs to be done until we first get accurate data. So chiropractors show up in pain. The first thing we got to do is clean the drafting table and assess the landscape.
Yeah. And you know, usually the wound, like you just said, is not knowing, not having any idea, except they can't pay their bills, or they can't do whatever it might be, right? But once again, that's just the symptom. That's the symptom. They're not looking at what could be the cause. And I get that. Part of it is getting to the data, because the data, everyone has that available to them.
You and I come from a landscape of fellow chiropractors who love to talk about serving more people and adjusting more and to give and to love and to serve. And that's fine. But sometimes these people show up on my doorstep and they're collecting $8 a visit. It just doesn't work. And you have to be willing to talk about that.
Well, here's the thing, you know, Dr. Williams, obviously, who coined lasting purpose, right? And lasting purpose is, you know, giving, doing, loving, and serving out of one's own abundance. He always stressed that it's a consciousness. It's a consciousness. It's not about saying, I'll just take care of you. Come in. You don't have to pay me. You don't have to pay me. You don't have to pay me. No, man, he would, you know, he was all about the doctor being reimbursed. He was about, you know, up-leveling of the profession and showing the worth of what we do in chiropractic. But if you have the consciousness about, I serve everybody, then you start drawing them in. And the more value we have, you know, for our product, of course, and our service, you know, so share with us, like, so you get someone who comes in, right? And they're, because there might be the people who are listening right now or people who are listening right now who have, you know, colleagues who are in this position, but, you know, not everybody walks around telling their pain points or where their wounds are, right? You know, until they can't go to dinner, they can't go on vacation, they can't go wherever. So you get someone, you get the data. What's some of the first things you do with them? But give us some examples.
Well, you know, there are some 482 different tools in TLC of points in a day in a life of a chiropractor that we've identified that apply to four primary zones of function of a chiropractor. And we have to get down to isolating one thing at a time. So for instance, if your DVA collections is in the tank, well, then we have to, first of all, be clear, do we have accurate data? So that might be one tool. If you're in the tank relative to new patient volume, a tool we might decide we have to pull and apply to this person, you brought up consciousness, would be P2P. P2P is the acronym for playing to potential. It means you're playing to the potential of what can be, not what's on the schedule, which means very specifically every morning, every team member has a printed copy of the schedule and they analyze the vacuums in the schedule where there are not the volumes of servitude going out that could be there. And you identify those spaces and we give you specific actions to inject into the spaces. So the size of the hole you're giving through is enlarged, and that's what makes the size of the hole you're going to receive from be greater. But there's specific tools for this. You know, people like to idealize, you know, when Dr. Sid would talk about manifestation and he would talk about things, but behind the black curtain, Sid was a script master. Sid was a businessman. Sid analyzed the details. And it's too often we don't talk about that side of him. If you check recordings of him over 20 years, he was saying the exact same words over and over again, because he studied, he understood where he was accurate, he understood where he was sloppy, and he fixed the game, whether he was going to sell more hairbrushes or cooking pans or anything else. That guy had the details down. So in addition to the conceptual stuff, he had the grit, the road, and the bloody knuckle stuff of training hard. I love his background.
Oh yeah, man. And listen, one of the things about Dr. Sid that if people know or don't know is that he went everywhere. I mean, he was not afraid to go say, oh, something's going on in Colorado, I want to go over there and see what's happening. Or something's happening over in Texas, I want to go over there to learn. I mean, he was a sponge. He, you know, and he'll tell you, he didn't invent the wheel, you know?
Yep.
I mean, but you're right. You know, he had the bloody knuckles and he did everything it took to make sure that, you know, that he got the job done. And that's that fortitude that, you know, people have to have and anything in life. It's not just about chiropractic, right? It's just, yeah. But when you really own what you're doing and you love what you're doing and your purpose outweighs your objections.
You know, you said, what do I do? So one of the things I do if someone begins to demonstrate that perhaps they're open to change is we have to see how they perform in community, because ultimately people trying to grow in isolation will never enter the Olympics. If you're going to the Olympics, you're going to train and grow in community, whether it's coaches and trainers and this or that, and competition and being around other people. isolation never wins. So you have to be in community. So we start people out in a process called foundations. And in foundations, you function in little groups of 6 to 8 chiropractors working on behaviors of extraordinary, how do you start your day disciplines that set up that a business owner and a clinically relevant caregiver rises up to the occasion of what must be done in the office once the bell rings. So we put people in foundations and we see how they play with other chiropractors. And right. When you can play functionally at working on behaviors of your day, then all the other pieces can be put in place. So really, it's a process of discovery regarding community.
Right. And so someone has a hard time playing. What's the process?
Well, usually, if there's a hard time playing, it has to do with the same thing that causes doctors to have team that are fleeting. Team and people to play need to feel safe and that there are boundaries of appropriateness. Mm-hmm. So the two words that have to come into play is, have we set up an environment that has appropriateness of boundaries and a clear and evident exercise of safety? When CAs feel safe, they're willing to play and grow, even if it's a little scary. When chiropractors feel safe and recognize that the household has boundaries and is run well, I've seen the most timid of chiropractors open up.
Yeah.
So usually it means that we've got to make sure the house is run properly. And, you know, I've been at this, my wife's been at this, the 30 different coaches in TLC been at this for 20 years. The stuff TLC teaches is now utilized in somewhere around 3,000 chiropractic offices today. So we've tested the element. There's real scientific evidence behind what we choose to do, how we choose to teach it, and how it plays out in people. You know, the average PVA in the country is 25. The average PVA in TLC clinics is between 65 and 75. Mm. That's a 200% elevation across the national average for our profession. We're like 220% above the national average in practice collections and all that. So it's a clean household. And whether people are dominant third party or dominant self-pay or dominant Atlas or dominant full spine, being accountable and training in community always works.
Yeah, always. So go back to the people, go back to the, you know, the doctor, because obviously, you know, you've been doing this for 20 years and you see all kinds of different things happening, right? Share with us, you know, what are the common, there's a lot of people who don't want to get help. Let's face it, you know, they don't want to admit it. They don't want to, they're worried, they're concerned what it's going to look like. They're concerned about themselves, but and they're hurting, they're wounded, and they're not willing to make a step to make something happen, right? You know, what? How do you help people like that? And we everyone knows, our viewers know that you got to want to help yourself. We know that. But, you know, a lot of people don't know what it is or where the subluxation is, right?
Well, I liken it to, when do you find that you're really able to help John Q. Public as a patient? Usually the portal of entry is that there is a proclaimed pain. Mm-hmm. So if a patient has back pain, neck pain, they show up, they say they're going to give chiropractic a try. That can be the entry. And then hopefully we're going to lead them to a higher reason for choosing chiropractic than the pain. Well, most chiropractors who show up looking for what we do usually are the exact same story. And their pain, like I said, is they're blowing through employees. They can't seem to keep a team together. You know, they're on the edge with their marriage. They can't seem to keep balance together. So we have to look at these situations and we have to specifically give them solutions. We can't really help them make greater global change until we first address the pain. Mm-hmm. And that might sound sad to say, but I'm gonna go there and just say, we got to help them, you know. And granted, I'm going to toggle the Atlas and I'm going to do what's right. I'm not going to dwell upon the pain with that patient, but I might give them an ice pack or I might give them a recommendation for a stretch. But I know it's the adjustment from above down, inside out, that's going to work the totality of things. Well, a chiropractor who needs help is going to come in and say, I need more new patients. So we're going to do specific things to help them grow the new patients now. Right. And in the course of growing the new patients, hopefully the chiropractor wakes up a little bit and says, you know, I might have kind of brought this on myself because I don't play accountably. I don't show up for events. I don't really want to be in a community. I tend to isolate myself, or, you know, whatever the classic flaws are. They're the same flaws that people have. People are more addicted to being comfortable than to being courageous. People are more addicted to being safe and provided for than forging ahead. And And in any area of our lives, all of us have some of that timidity somewhere. Yes. Some people might not be for running a 6-minute mile, but it happens to be for living on 80 cents of a dollar, you know?
Yeah, no. And you know, when you talk about pain, you know, it's so right on, because it's like someone coming in your office, right? And let's just say they come in with pain. You can't talk to them about optimal potential and function at that moment, right? You know, because their mind is stuck in this model of pain that you got to kind of bring them out of that so that they can hear you. And a lot of chiropractors fail. You know that. They fail.
Well, I love thinking about you and the school. You know, I mean, there's so much incredibly higher levels of academic injection that our whole profession needs to elevate the profession at large. And yet I know we can't do anything for a college if we don't refer students, donate money, and volunteer time. That's, you know, that's the portal of pain. You know, if there's not enough students, not enough money, and not enough volunteerism, that college has pain. So we ain't going to get to work on the standards of academic idealism. Right?
That's exactly it.
So we got to help you.
Yeah, exactly it. And, you know, and when people get that, I mean, I think that the most self-aware understand where their pain is, when they have pain, or at least as early as possible, and address it, you know, until it starts growing. What I love is you talked about accountability. You talked about, you know, having it in front of you so that you can't run from it, right? It's right there.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I love is right away when somebody gets started with us, they have to back paddle and they have to enter their past preceding 6 months of statistics. And I study a minimum of 20 different factors in their practice like that. So I look at the past 6 months prior to getting started. And then every single month, by the fifth of the next month, the updated stats have to be in. And we have to measure performance. You have to be accountable. You know, there's so much stuff out there called management that wants to call itself coaching. And what it really is pointing to audios. You know, I just had a guy today came to TLC from someplace else, and he said, all the guy keeps telling me is, well, go here and listen to that. Go there and listen to that. Because even coaches don't want to get into the nitty-gritty, exhaustive labor of interactive accountability. So to answer your question one more time, you solve a slice of some pain that someone has. You do it with dignity. You do it with philosophy and congruent choices that guide the procedures you're selecting. And if that process plays out right, that person might have seen enough of the light to make a higher choice next.
Yeah. So Dean, you've been around, what, 35 years, you know, in practice, you know, or, you know, graduated 35 years ago. And I thank you, by the way, because touching on that motivation, you know, that pain is a motivation. And I think that we all have to understand that pain isn't bad. You know, it's like a patient coming in, right? It's like, it's great. You know, your body's speaking to you. So don't run away from the pain, embrace the pain, right? And look to do something about it. See where, you know, where is it pointing to? So you shared that, you know, talked about measuring, you know, the measurement of success, obviously, and, you know, on that level, and what growth is about. What are your views on the profession? Like, where do you see, in your mind's eye, right? Where do you see the profession going?
Well, I mean, I watch what the profession is producing, and the profession is producing a lot of people who are interested in getting a chiropractic degree who do not yet possess a story about their own chiropractic experience. And that presents a changing landscape that we have to be mindful of. And that means there are a lot of people graduating today who may see adjusting as an option in their potpourri or their palette of service items that they give to people. So it's our job to be the light. Better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. Better to, you know, present one solution than to worry about all the obstacles. That's our focus. So I think the best thing any one of us can do is grow your practice. Mm-hmm. That's it. I mean, I could sit here and argue about all the things I think are being done wrong or this, but, you know, that never ends up getting us to higher ground primary. You know, behind closed doors in a tactical strategy room, there's reasons to do that stuff. Here, the job is, each of you that listens to this know that Dr. Ron, Life West, they're putting these leadership audios and videos together with the greatest of intents. They want you to grow your contributions. So the best solution to anything going sideways in the profession is grow your house and give tons of money back to the profession in the process and refer a lot of guys to chiropractic schools that teach chiropractic.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because when you look at the landscape right now, if throughout, you know, chiropractic, right, all schools, digital marketing is probably the number one avenue that new students are coming in. Mm-hmm. So it used to be when you went to school, it used to be there wasn't digital marketing, first of all. But second of all, it was all referrals, or very few people would raise their hands and say, I've never been adjusted, because, you know, most people have been adjusted, right? And they're referred. And in this day and age of social media, there's not enough socialness of the chiropractors sending students to school. It's phenomenal. And I think, I equate it to the desocialization of social media, right?
Yeah.
You know, we're just not talking as much, and we're not out there doing, you know, we're behind a keyboard, but we're not necessarily doing as much. So I love what you said, because it's so true. And when I asked you your vision, I appreciate your answer, because your answer really is, you know, we've got to first take care of ourselves and then grow, you know.
Yeah, there were certain years in the course of coaching that I wasn't at the front end of the tables toggling. And I have to tell you, it was critical for me to be back at the tables. And so while it was a tiny little hiatus, it was a hiatus that showed me I don't belong on a podium teaching others how to do what we do if during the week I'm not in the front lines doing it.
Yes. Yeah.
And there's a lot of that, but that's true with everything, you know. And in our profession, though, it's particularly unique, because most of us, if we're going to make it, we're in a private practice. So if you can't demonstrate what it takes to run a private practice, then you give information that could be challenging.
Yeah, or just information without substance behind it, you know. And it's true. I mean, listen, obviously, people who are, you know, people who are doing it and are in the trenches doing it have an experience. And as you change and as you bring on new models, you can share those new models, because I'm sure what you taught 10 years ago, I don't want to say it was completely different, I wouldn't think that, but there's differences of what you're teaching now based on, you know, what you're finding now and what you're doing. So I honor that. And I'm so excited, dude. I'm just thrilled. You know, I love what you're doing. And are you from Pennsylvania?
No, I was born in Hoboken, New Jersey.
I thought so, man. I mean, you know, how'd you get to Pennsylvania?
My wife and I met while we were at Life Chiropractic College. And when we graduated, we went back to Manhattan, we went back to New Jersey, we went to a different, you know, array of places to look at. And we were clear we wanted to be near our family, but we didn't want to be in the same towns anymore. Yeah. And various reasons. I was practicing in Louisville, Kentucky. Somebody said, oh, I'm going to take the Pennsylvania State Board. And I said, So I started looking into it. I said, well, I'm going to go take it with you. And then I started investigating Pennsylvania, and I realized I can get from an area that I had selected in Philadelphia to the Lincoln Tunnel in Manhattan in 90 minutes. I said, you know what? Let me go check that area out. I fell in love with it like that. My wife fell in love. We came here. We didn't know a single soul in the whole state of Pennsylvania. We started from scratch, and we have not looked back. We love it here.
I love it. And I believe this, that you would love it anywhere. I believe that wholeheartedly.
Dean, well, you know, thank you. It was a treat to be in your location, to be in your school. And by your, I mean the whole greater Life West community. Yeah. You guys have created an element for this profession that serves us to the highest degree. That was an amazing event. So I look forward to being around all of us at the Life West community for a long time.
Yeah. So we look forward to having you. We're thrilled that you're with us. And I want to thank you, man. Thank you for all you're doing for the profession. Thank you for what you've done, you know, just with your family, how you live your life. It really comes from the stand of the man. The stand of the man is more than what they show on paper, right? And I think you have the stand there. You're going to say something.
So if it's okay, so this foundations process that I put people into is to review the foundation, because I consider the foundation beneath the surface what allows the building to rise above the surface. You guys can engage in the foundations with me for free. So if any of you want to do something with that, there'll be a link, and Dr. Ron will make sure it sits out for you. But all you're going to do is you're going to text me the word foundations, and I'm going to plug you into something that reveals what are you really here for, and can you grow through that kind of accountability? So
I love it. Thank you. Much appreciation. Dude, I love you. I appreciate you. Thank Jen for allowing you to come upstairs right now. He was downstairs in Pork Chop. You were phenomenal. Though you can't see us, we can see you. It looks like one of the Beatles, you know, with the hair going. I used to have hair like that. many years ago. But you know, and for our viewers, just so you know, Dr. Dean was just downstairs serving people, jumped upstairs. It's probably 3:45 right now when he's off this.
Come down, buddy.
Back down and going down to take care of more people. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate all you're doing for chiropractic. I appreciate all you're doing for your community and for the colleges and for LifeWest in particular. And to our viewers, thank you. Thanks for tuning in week after week. You know, we drop these leadership lines every other week, the opposite week. We do a Life by LifeWest. That's with myself and my wife, with younger practitioners. But everyone can get a lot out of all of these. They're now becoming podcasts, so the podcast will be on the bottom. So not only can you see the video, but you can also be in your car or wherever else listening to these as a podcast. We appreciate you. Keep sharing the love and keep taking care of what you need to take care of. The number one thing is yourself and your family and then those that you serve. So thank you so much. And until we come back with you another couple of weeks with a LifeWest Leadership Line, both Dr. Dean and myself bid you adieu and have a phenomenal day.
Thank you for joining us today and for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.